Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
It's sort of a weird feeling to see something happen that you sort of expect, but you're still disappointed in it. And that's the way I feel about Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas basically using politics in the wake of this tragedy with young Ralph Yarl in the Northland and the man that allegedly shot him. I don't think anybody questions whether Andrew Lester shot him or not. It was his house, and the evidence is pretty clear. So we don't know where this case is going. There's just so many factors that we talked about on Tuesday's podcast, but it's still kind of slimy and greasy to see Mayor Lucas doing all these national interviews and national shows and basically promoting racism in all of them. And I use the word promoting not in a pejorative way. I don't mean it that way. That's just what he is. He's a race promoter, as most politicians on the left are. They promote racism in America because they cling to racism in order to get votes and stay in power. It has nothing to do with advancing America or creating a better culture or bringing people together. It's clearly about winning elections, and Mayor Lucas has done this in a big way now. And I've described him in the past as, you know, he's maybe Barack Obama light at this point. I don't know. He's got the big education. I've watched people in my career polish their skills through media, which is a very, very important component in all this. And I realize how effective he could be as I think he's an extreme liberal, first and foremost, who is a bit of a chameleon that can easily go on Pete Mundo's radio show, a conservative show, or in this case, on Fox News Tuesday, where he appeared. And he's basically polishing his act for the middle of the country, not for hard right conservatives. They're never going to vote for a Democrat ever. But he polishes his act by sounding like a moderate. This is what Barack Obama did. We now know Barack Obama was never a moderate. He didn't push and force some things while he was president because he didn't think he could. But I don't think there's any question that he's the puppet master and pulling all the strings now and all the craziness that we're seeing. I don't know anybody that doubts that. Barack Obama is still the most politically powerful person. Barack Obama and Donald Trump are the two most politically powerful people in the United States. And we see everything happening on the left, and I think Barack Obama likes every single bit of it and is pushing every single bit of it. I think Mayor Q likes it all. But like Obama, he will find a way through media to convince people in the middle that he is not a liberal, that he's a reasonable, common sense, regular guy, and he's really good at it. He went on Fox News and polished his character that he acts when he's on TV, where he sort of hinted at racism because he said, you know, the prosecutor in Clay County said there are elements of race to this. He was very, very, very light on the way he said it on Fox News. And he came off as, wow, this isn't one of those crazy people that you see in Chicago or San Francisco or someplace like that. This is not one of those people. This is somebody that seems more moderate. He obviously is a handsome guy. He's young. He's smart. There's a lot of things about Mayor Lucas to like. He's in his right lane. There's no question Quentin Lucas is in the proper lane. If he doesn't screw up with something, you know, breaking the law or personally that's completely embarrassing or whatever, great things are in store for Quentin Lucas. And make no doubt about it, he has his eye on the White House. There are no good Democrats out there. There's nobody that can play the game that Obama played. Now, they're still winning elections, and we can discuss how they're doing it. Maybe artificial intelligence is the next way that they do that. But they're winning elections. They don't have very good candidates. Mayor Lucas would be a tremendous Democrat candidate, incredibly hard to beat. Incredibly hard to beat, because he will appear, if he ever got to a national stage, and he probably needs to do something statewide at some point, and maybe a run for governor is something that Mayor Lucas would try to do. I still think he's just waiting for Emanuel Cleaver to retire and take that seat, and maybe they broker a deal, spend 6 years in Congress, then run for president. This is down the road. He's a very young man. He's got a lot of time before he goes and does this. He can build his resume, but he's polishing his act where he hints at racism on Fox News, but then does all these other liberal interviews where he's the judge and jury, and he has decided that Andrew Lester is a racist. And this is now pandering to the people that watch those programs, which are his base voters on the far left. And he's basically said, this is unacceptable. We're getting nowhere in America. We're not getting any better. He doesn't want to talk about the black-on-black crime. He doesn't want to talk about other teens that have been shot and died. How many teens have been shot and killed during his tenure as mayor of Kansas City? It has to be a very significant number. We don't remember any of those names, and we don't hear him talk about it. But he's going to talk about Ralph Yarrell all day long because he knocked on the wrong door. He went to a white guy's door and got shot. This is what he does in the liberal media. But it is a far different story when he's on conservative media. And he sounds good. He sounds like somebody, like if you weren't a perfectly dyed-in-the-wool conservative, I'm voting this party or this way, I could vote for this guy. He sounds common sense. He sounds right. Man, he is one nifty politician, but I just think it's gross, disgusting, if this is the way you make your living, is running around calling an 84-year-old man that clearly is impaired. You can tell by his mugshot he's impaired, at least in some small way, by age and at least one eye that barely opens. He is somehow impaired, and we can have the argument all day long that he shouldn't possess a gun, he shouldn't have one, that, you know, take away grandpa's gun here, that ought to be happening, but he still has the right to have it to protect himself living alone. It's a very complicated, nuanced story. Went into great depth on this on Tuesday. We're not going to revisit it here today, but there is Quentin Lucas just using it for his own gain, just gaining a national attention. You know, Mayor Pete was able to do this because he was a gay mayor. Mayor Lucas is going to do this because he's a black mayor. You can pull apart from the pack. Mayor Lucas, there's not a black mayor in America on a national stage that would appeal more to voters than Quentin Lucas. He knows this. He knows what he's got. He's got everything it takes. I will not be surprised if Quentin Lucas is president of the United States someday. This will not in any way surprise me. And he is working every single day toward that. It is a long road. He knows it's a long road. The old guard of the Democrat Party is fading away. Quentin Lucas will present himself more as a moderate and not one of the crazy people on the left, even though I think there's a crazy leftist in there. I think he's waiting to be unleashed, but he knows that that's not the best way to get elected. We're seeing all of his ambition, all of his drive in one story right here about a 16-year-old boy, Ralph Yarrell, in Kansas City. Okay, I've gotten a lot of feedback from many of you about public broadcasting, and it's been kind of fun because I've been doing a lot of research on it. I've emailed many of you back over the last week or two and said, yeah, I'm going to do some more research. I'm going to get some numbers. I'll put them together. I'll explain this to you because it's very easy to go to NPR or PBS's site, and they will tell you, we're only 1% funded by the federal government. Yes, we take federal money. Elon Musk tagged these people on Twitter as state-run media. Then he changed it to government-funded media. And they've all just lost their minds. They've been working in darkness, in the shadows, where only the people that listen to them, which isn't a great number, only the people that watch or listen to public television or public radio know that it's government funded. But on their website, they brag that, and Elon Musk has pointed this out, that federal funding is essential, is what it said on NPR's website, until Elon Musk changed their Twitter moniker and came public on this. Now they have taken that down. From NPR and PBS, they have taken down the words from their own websites that federal funding is essential. Those are gone. Those are stricken. People are just now figuring out that their tax dollars are paying for this crap. And it is complete crap. It is utter BS. It started with the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967. The Democrats were all over this. When I say they play a long game, they play a long game. That's 56 years ago they started public broadcasting, and they have worked it to a point where it's a complete extension of the Democrat National Committee or Democrat Party and federally funded by everyone's tax dollars to keep it going, just like Planned Parenthood. Just like so many other big Democrat spending agendas, the Republicans over the years have taken their eye off the ball, allowed it to happen, and now we have all this public broadcasting. I've been screaming about this since the beginning of my career with coworkers. I've told you that on previous podcasts. And they go, well, it's only 1%. I'm like, bullshit, it's 1%. You know it's more than that, and it is way more than that. And we're going to go over some numbers here for you that's going to enlighten you a little bit. We have now learned that NPR has dropped Twitter. They're no longer on there. Public Broadcasting is going to do that. KCUR, the affiliate here in Kansas City, is dropping Twitter. They're dropping Twitter because NPR wants them to drop Twitter. Affiliates all over the country are going to drop Twitter because NPR wants them to. So let me explain how this works. NPR is, for example, let's use NBC. NBC is the network. NBC has golf events. They have The Voice. They have all these TV shows, the, you know, Chicago Crime or whatever. You know what a television network is. Then there are hundreds of affiliates around the country. And in Kansas City, that's KSHB Channel 41. The affiliate is owned by somebody separate, but they're affiliated with NBC. In some big markets like New York, LA, Chicago, NBC actually owns the local television stations. So they're a corporation, but they're only allowed to own so many of their own stations by law. They're regulated by the FCC. They're not allowed to own all NBC stations, or they'd buy every dang one of them. They're not allowed. As the network, you're only allowed to own so many affiliates. Really, it has to do with the number of homes that you're in. And they just go for the big markets for simplicity. They buy the big market TV stations. They're called owned and operated stations. This has been going on forever, and it's an accepted practice. But in fairness to local broadcasting, the government, the FCC, and America, capitalism, we like to see multiple individual television station owners own different stations around the country. So I've worked for many different broadcasting companies. I had a different owner for a CBS affiliate in Joplin than I did an NBC affiliate in Kansas City and then a Fox affiliate in Kansas City. When we were on Sports Radio 810, we owned our own company. We were not owned by ESPN, but we were an ESPN affiliate. We ran the ESPN updates. So there's always a network, and then generally speaking, the stations are owned by other companies. You're a local affiliate of a network. NPR is the government-funded network. There are hundreds of affiliates around the country. KCUR in Kansas City is the affiliate. Here's the scam they're running. NPR likes to say, their favorite thing is to say, we're only one person, in response to this, after bragging on their website that federal funding is essential, they say only 1% of our funding comes from the federal government. This is what they say. Okay, get this. The hundreds of affiliates around the country must pay NPR for the programming. They pay rights fees to NPR. The money that is brought in from NPR, from the government, through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and state and local governments funding, and the affiliates kicking it in, amounts to 31% of their budget. 31%. So it is quite clear they cannot operate without the federal government. The federal government pays money to KCUR. The federal government, state governments, local governments pay money to every NPR affiliate all over the country. They all get government funding. Now you have hundreds of entities getting money from Washington, D.C. And those entities, what do they have to do? They have to turn around and kick it back to NPR for programming because they can't afford to put 24 hours of programming on a day. They have to be affiliated with some sort of a network. In regular broadcasting, let's use ESPN and Sports Radio 810, what we would do is we would sign an agreement with ESPN. We would get some of their programming. We'd get Sunday Night Baseball, Monday Night Football, the updates at the top of the hour. When we ran the updates at the top of the hour, their commercial has to run. We didn't write checks to them, but they got a commercial playing in Kansas City. When that update happened at the top of the hour, they got a 30-second spot there, free. We get the programming. They got some commercials for free. They are a private business, they're a public corporation, out trying to find as many affiliates as they can and get their spots heard in as many places. Then they sell those spots and make a profit. That's not what NPR does. NPR sits there and gets money from the federal government and money from every single affiliate. It's a ridiculous cash operation. This is insane what we do. Here's the number. Here's their 2024 request from the federal government. $383 million for television station and programming, $128 million for public radio and programming grants, $34 million for system support, that's equipment. By the way, if you went down to KCUR, you would see that the equipment in there that they use is better than any radio station in Kansas City. Same thing with PBS, Channel 19. Their equipment, their cameras, their set, the money, the lighting, everything they have is better than any other TV station in Kansas City. $29 million for operations. So that's just under $600 million of your money, just under $600 million a year of your money going to Democrat programming all over the country, taxpayer funded. They say that's 1% of their budget that they're getting from the federal government. That means they would be nearly a $60 billion operation, which they most certainly are not. I think that's bigger than Netflix. They are most certainly not bigger than Netflix or, you know, some of these other companies that we see. They do not do, it's not a $60 billion operation. So they're lying about the 1%. 1% of their budget comes straight from the federal government. 30% of their budget comes from all the affiliates out there throwing money at them by law or by contract. The money just gets disseminated from the federal government instead of to one place, PBS, or one place, NPR. They're sending it to hundreds of media outlets. Everybody gets government money. It's just one check after another. Then those affiliates have to turn around and pay fees back to NPR to keep it going. This is the biggest scam going. Elon Musk is right. I welcome him to my club. I've been on this for 20 years. We need to defund public broadcasting. We can allow public broadcasting. We can have it. No problem. They can be whatever they want. And you know, it. When I say defund, maybe we don't go down to zero. Maybe we don't. Maybe we stop funding all the local affiliates. Because the local affiliates will claim, KCUR here says, our entire operating budget here, everything that we do, only 5% of our budget is government money, and 95% is what we're doing. Great. Let's take away your 5%. You can cut 5% and keep operating. Guess what the 5% is? The 5% of their budget goes back to NPR. That's how NPR gets its hundreds of millions of dollars is each affiliate is kicking back. If you're 95% sustainable on your own, which is not accurate, I mean, I could break KCUR down into knots over this. They're getting state, local, charity organization grants. They're getting all kinds of stuff that is a government-funded program. Look, a charity grant is a tax write-off for somebody. So how much are we losing in tax dollars, tax revenue, because people are donating tax-free? I haven't even calculated the tax-free part of all this. Don't get me started on that. The lost tax revenue, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in all likelihood. With the people, that, you know, these rich people that die and they leave an endowment of $2 million to the public broadcasting and then they live off the interest, that was all tax-free. There's no tax on that because it's given to the public broadcasting. This is a scam of billions of dollars of your money. I know I'm ranting. I'm going to stop because you may not care that much. But so many of you have said, hey, listen, I've gone to the site and I've seen this and they say this. They are freaking liars. Okay? They're lying. This stuff does not exist without massive government waste. And that's all this is. It's one party waste. And there's only two ways to solve it. One is take the money away from all the local affiliates, which would cripple PBS and NPR at the knees because they wouldn't be getting the fees. It would cripple them. That's one way to do it. Cut the affiliates off. Okay? You can do it that way. Or you change the rules of content. You say, we'll leave the entire system in place. It's fine. We'll leave it in place because we don't change things in the government. Lyndon Johnson came along with this thing or whatever, and this is what we have, and the Democrats control it. But here's the deal. There are new rules. Every other hour, the content will be different. Democrats control 12 hours a day. Republicans control 12 hours a day. Because clearly these are political operations now. There is entertainment on there, but pick the entertainment shows you like. You're going to pick entertainers and things that lean left. Maybe the Republicans would like to put a Travis Tritt concert on and try to raise money off that. Now that he's out there, you know, banning Bud Light and things like that. My point is, there is no attempt at any fairness of what happens on these broadcasts. It is all hard left. Everybody knows it, and it's funded by everybody's tax dollars. This is a complete scam. You got to trust me on this one. It's a complete and utter scam, and the numbers are just shocking how much money we're talking about. We're talking about $600 million a year of your money going to public broadcasting. And that's just the beginning of it. That's the tip of the iceberg because we can't even calculate. You know, I know they're tax think tanks. I wonder how much lost revenue from the IRS is out there because of people with tax deductions for supporting these outfits. These things should not be tax deductible. They just shouldn't be. Your church should be. Your church should be tax deductible. The Cancer Society should be tax deductible. There's a lot of things out there that should be tax deductible. Public broadcasting should not be one of them. It's donating to Democratic efforts, Democrat Party efforts, and getting a tax write-off. That's all it is. It's a complete and utter scam. All right, enough of my rant today. Woo! I'm going to clear my head this afternoon a little bit. It could be a little breezy out there. I'm going to try to tee it up with Dr. Jeremy Fry and a buddy of his later today. And maybe the friend you can't mention on the podcast. The friend you can't mention on the podcast is a little wimpy when it comes to playing golf in the wind. I honestly think he'd rather play golf in the cold or even maybe a light rain than the wind. He's a high ball hitter. He doesn't like losing to me. I'm a low ball hitter. And you can fill in the blanks from there. But we're going to give it a go and see what happens. If nothing else, we'll just hang out in the clubhouse after nine holes or something and have a good time. Dr. Jeremy's carved a little time for me. That's very kind of him. He really appreciates the listeners of this podcast. He likes you very much. He thanks you for your business, certainly, at Fry Orthodontics. But he just feels kind of a kinship. He's going to have a lot of questions and a lot of comments of people that he runs into, knowing that he's a sponsor of this. And I'll check back with you in the coming days about how that goes. But I think he's really happy to be part of this. He's just a great American. I'm looking forward to spending a little time with Dr. Jeremy this afternoon. Of course, his company can be found online at fryorthodontics.com. They are the best anywhere in the Midwest. I came back from my walk with my dog yesterday, and my neighbor had an Advantage termite and pest control truck in front of their house, and it was the critter. It was the animal wildlife. Wildlife control, it said on there. I'm like, uh-oh, okay, this is not a regular spray. What's going on? We know Miss Jessica doesn't like snakes, right? We know this about her. So I walk up to the dudes from Advantage. They're awesome. And I say, uh-oh. I can't even bring this up. You know, we're wooded behind us. We got woods all over out here in a creek. And we haven't seen a snake in almost a year and a half now. We've been here. We have not seen a snake. And so I'm like, uh-oh. Snakes, baby snakes, snakes. I saw a mouse last night in the cul-de-sac walking my dog. It was in the evening. It was and it was a baby mouse. It was a tiny little thing, and Cabo was just enthralled by it. He just wanted to, he acts like he wants to play with it, but what he wants to do is chomp it, I think. Although he's not really that dog, I think he maybe would put it in his mouth and then spit it out. I don't think he'd eat it. But this is a baby mouse, and I had him on a leash, and I let him get kind of close, but not to the mouse. And I thought to myself, this mouse is not making it through the night. If he's out there on the asphalt, and then he was walking down the sidewalk, like not even in the grass. We got so many hawks and owls and things out here. I don't think that mouse made the night, and it was a little baby mouse. No way. Because any movement, those birds can see. So I'm guessing that mouse did not make it the night, which is fine. They can take care of the mice as far as I'm concerned. That's just nature. But I asked the dudes, I'm like, uh-oh, please tell me this isn't snakes. And they're like, nope. Somebody spotted a bat. And I was like, spotted a bat? Well, of course. We like the bats. They eat the insects. I've got no problem with the bats. We've seen bats. We only moved 600 yards. We've seen bats for years out here. They spotted a bat, and they want to make sure that their house doesn't have a place where a bat can get up and in and either build a nest or whatever. And I thought, well, there's an interesting service call. That's interesting. I'd never thought when I saw bats to call Advantage and say, is my house okay? Walk around the outside, take a look, see what we have here, make sure the bats aren't going to get in. They did it for my neighbor. I don't know that my neighbor uses Advantage because of the podcast. All I know is there's a whole lot of Advantage termite and pest control here taking care of all of us in this neighborhood, and they're incredible. They just came out and did that. And then my neighbor, she walked out and said, can you also, there's a attic access. Can you check the attic? Sure, we'll check the attic. I'm going to check the attic to make sure there weren't any bats. They didn't have any in their house. They'd seen some flying around, and Advantage came out and did that. Now, I'm not the guy that would call on something like that. I can't tell you if they charge for the inspection. I really don't know. But they do it. They do it. They got a critter department as well. Advantage is just different. AdvantageTPC.com. And North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush, saw him yesterday. I'm going to be playing in the Team Smiles Golf Tournament coming up in May. Looking forward to that. He put a couple of new fillings in for me. He's in the process of taking out all my metal fillings from when I was much, much younger. And I couldn't believe how quickly it happens now. He said, yeah, it used to take minutes. They would wait to They put that laser thing on them if they put it in to like cure it or harden it. It only takes like 5 seconds now. Done. Like, you're done? That was quick and easy at North Kansas City Dental. What a beautiful office they have there. Incredible. NKCDental.com. I don't know how many people he's got working there. I know there's 4 dentists, and you can get an appointment with Dr. Bush if you'd like, or one of the other dentists. The staff of hygienists and assistants is remarkable. He is really something else, and he does great things for charity as well. This is a great dentistry. 2 locations, 1 in Kansas, 1 in Missouri. NKCDental.com. Cool stuff. All right, we're going to go in and out of order here today a little bit. Well, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to say I was getting ready to move on to DeMar Hamlin because I don't know if DeMar Hamlin is a sport. I will do DeMar Hamlin. I don't know if it's a sports story or a news story. I like this story. DeMar Hamlin held a news conference. The Buffalo Bills defensive back had a news conference. You may recall he was hit on a play this year and collapsed to the ground, and the game was postponed at that point, ended, postponed. And it really changed a lot of things. It didn't matter for the Chiefs. They wound up winning the Super Bowl. It all worked out. The Chiefs were the best team. But DeMar Hamlin was a national story. He has been pretty quiet over the past few months. And when asked exactly what happened, he has not been willing to discuss it. And we've all wondered, did he take the jab? Was this related to that? He put that to bed yesterday after waiting a long, long time, although I don't know why you would wait this long to say, hey, it was commotio cordis, and it was a freak accident. I got hit at the exact right time of my heartbeat. It stopped my heart. Hamlin said, quote, I died on national television in front of the whole world, unquote. That it was a freak accident, there are no long-term worries, and he's coming back to play football. I'm good with that. I'm good with that, man. I'm going to guess this young man loves playing football. There's nothing he loves more. And the doctors have assured him that there is no long-term damage to your body. You have no underlying heart conditions. You are not at any more risk for anything than any other player in the NFL. Go play if you want. And he is. And I think that's really cool. And some people will criticize him for this. Some people will criticize him for this. To me, man, live your life. Live your life. We all have our ups and downs. We all have bad things happen. We all have good things happen. And if you have a chance to play professional football and you love playing professional football and you can maybe even make generational money, generational wealth that will change your entire family tree, I see nothing wrong with that. He's had great doctors, great doctors. We're very happy for DeMar Hamlin. And he has now said publicly that that's exactly what it is. It was the instant that he got hit was the exact millisecond that needed to be to knock his heart out of rhythm or knock it shut it down. And they did. And they revived him so quickly with so many doctors there that he had no permanent damage and there is no damage to the heart and he has no heart condition. And back he comes. Cool for you, DeMar Hamlin. And cool for Roger Marshall. This is a really big story that's not going to get much play. There are so many big stories right now that you can't get through the clutter. And this is why Democrats do what they do. They turn things like COVID into a disaster for everybody. But then they cover it up with whatever the latest news is 2 years later to where the actual findings and news and things like that don't make any headway. They don't make any news. They're too busy talking about Ralph Yarl to talk about the millions of people that died of COVID and what we did wrong. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas is the biggest surprise in politics that anybody's ever seen. He was not widely regarded around Kansas as a great conservative. People thought he was going to be a little wishy-washy. But he's been tremendous, not just for the state of Kansas, but for the United States. He is a doctor. He's a medical doctor. We talk a lot about Josh Hawley here. Probably not enough about Roger Marshall. Roger Marshall has released a report over 300 pages long after 2 years of research, with incredible detail. There are 1,500 citations in this thing. They cite 1,500 different facts and findings. And it is remarkable what Roger Marshall has come up with. The headline here is there were 2 lab leaks at the Wuhan lab. He said if you put all the information about the lab leaks on one side of the scale and all the facts and information that you have about this being naturally occurring, 95% of the facts would be on one side of the scale, 5% on the other. He said, that's just where we are. That 95% of all the evidence points to a lab leak, 5% points to the possibility of this happening naturally. So all evidence, according to Roger Marshall, is this occurred in a lab. And he comes to the conclusion that there were two lab leaks. The first, he believes, occurred on or around September of 2019. It was unintentional, and it was contained. And once it was contained but had gotten out, they realized how serious the virus is as far as how contagious it is. They began vax research immediately, according to Roger Marshall. The National Institute of Health in the United States has confirmed that gain-of-function research is done in the Wuhan lab. Fauci just said, well, it isn't our money they're using for that. Okay, well, we're spending money in the Wuhan lab, but not on the part that's illegal in America. Gain-of-function research is against the law in this country. So it's being done in China because the scientists in America have to go somewhere to do this because you can't do it here. Marshall concludes the vax research began immediately on primates. Not what they've said before. They said they did bat research, basically, in there, right? No, he's saying they went on to primates and as part of a vax research. We've got this virus. We know how deadly it is. We've created it because they created it in a lab. We've got this virus. Now we need the vax for it. Keeping in mind, if you were a country that wanted to take over the world and you unleashed a virus that killed everyone, but you had a vaccine for your people, you'd be the only ones left standing. Right? Right. So that's what we're working on. The most unbelievably contagious virus and the vaccine to keep from getting it. They're doing this on primates, according to Roger Marshall. And he believes it was leaked as an aerosol in the lab. And if it got into the air in the lab, it could have gotten out of the lab. Or it was an aerosol in the lab that an employee got and left the lab. And once that person left, they gave it to someone else who gave it to someone else. And pretty much everybody in the world has had it since then. Marshall says, quote, this virus was just too perfect. When it came out of the lab, it was just too perfect. It fit like a key into a lock into the human lung cells. Now, China's pissed at this report. They are livid with the United States. They're really mad at Roger Marshall. But Marshall then goes on to say, this was just too easy. It is sliced out of the HIV virus. Marshall not only has concluded when and how, he knows which virus they took to gain of function something more serious or more contagious. We know how HIV is spread, but they took the HIV virus in China in primates, gain of function, and they found something more lethal that would spread to your lungs, and that was COVID-19. It is an amazing report. Marshall responded to China being pissed. They put a statement out that the U.S. is a fraud, blah, 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 blah. Marshall said, yeah, right. They've had their chance for 2 years to tell us exactly what happened, and they haven't told us anything. We're not believing anything China says. Thank God somebody makes sense in Washington, D.C. That is an amazing report. Well done, Senator Marshall. Well done. The NFL draft is coming to Kansas City next Thursday night. If you'd like to go, and I'm not talking about standing on the hill by Liberty Memorial or something like that. I'm talking about VIP ticket access. You know where to get your tickets in Kansas City, whether you're going to a concert, the Billy Joel show later this year, or Ed Sheeran or Taylor Swift or Luke Combs. All those tickets are available at ticketsforless.com. So are really good Royals tickets, suite tickets, things like that, crown seats. If you like those, you can save big by using the promo code KKHI. But if you really want to go to the draft, and this really is not inexpensive, ticketsforless.com has VIP draft experience tickets available right now. The best way for you is to call, mention the podcast, say I heard it on the podcast. I want information on draft VIP experience tickets, 913-685-3322. That's 685-3322. 3322. You can also check them out online at ticketsforless.com. The promo code is KKHI or DraftVIP. You get 10% off. Just call them right now. Tell them you listen to the podcast. Memories for life. Start at ticketsforless.com. These VIP tickets are right up on the stage, folks. It's all your food and drink included. It's like a sweet ticket to the Super Bowl. Okay, this ain't cheap. But if you want to go to the draft, you want to do something you've never done and do something that all of your friends will always be envious of and never be able to say, hey, I did that too. There's very limited number of seats available for the public to buy. Ticketsforless.com has them. Buck Roofing and Construction is Kansas City and the Midwest's finest roofing company. Online at rbuckroofing.com. If you call Ron Buck, he'll give you a free roof inspection right now. Anywhere in the Kansas City area, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Buck Roofing is there for you. 913-384-2680. If this is the year that's time for a new roof, all he asks is you allow him to work up a bid. You can take several bids. He believes he's going to give you the best product at the best price. Buck Roofing. I've just known Ron for years, man. He's a good dude. He runs a great company. And this is, you know, that's, you really work to put a roof over your head when you think about it. Food on your table and roof over your head. And Buck Roofing can help you with that. 913-384-2680. And our friends at the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center in Manhappiness, USA. The second fastest growing city in America is Manhattan, Kansas. It's true, and it deserves a world-class hotel like the Bluemont Hotel. Fortunately for you, it's there. Whether you're in Manhattan for business or you want to take a little golf trip, maybe visit the lake, graduation's coming up, Bluemont Hotel is a wonderful place for your event, happy hour, corporate events, outings. It's all right there at the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center. It's so much fun. They have a golf simulator in there, batting cages, skee ball, little miniature pin bowling. It's really cool. It's a neat place. BluemontHotel.com is the website, BluemontHotel.com. Wow, the Royals stink. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm watching last night. I'm thinking, this is a pretty good game. Jessica on Tuesday has her Ladies Golf League. They didn't golf last night. It was their, they were worried that when they set their schedule for the year, they would like to push back the start date as far as they can because they don't like to play in the cold. So, right. So last night was their social event to kick off the season. So they got together and had their social event. Jessica was a good girl. She got home by 9 o'clock last night. That was pretty good. So she's up there doing that and I'm watching the Royals game and I'm thinking, well, this is pretty good. 3-2, they're in this one. The Royals actually got the lead 1-0 last night. Wow. It was 3-2. They're humming along. We're in the sixth inning. This game's in play. The Royals could win one, and Carlos Hernandez comes in. And all hell breaks loose with Carlos Hernandez in the game, and he just gets rocked. Next thing you know, it's 8-2. The Royals lose 12-2. In the sixth inning, the team is booed mercilessly. Now, it's not a big crowd, but everybody in the crowd is booing. It was ugly. The Royals are 4-14. They're 1-11 at Kauffman Stadium. This season is dead. Bobby Witt apparently now is growing into some sort of a role as a spokesperson for the team. He's where all the media guys went after the game to ask about the booing. And Bobby Witt Jr. said, well, that's motivation for sure. It's going to drive us. We're going to just keep working and working and working. We want to prove them wrong. He says the right thing, but it doesn't. It just kind of rings hollow with me. This team stinks. Danny Matthews used to always say, it's great to have a nice bullpen, but the more pitchers you use, the more likelihood one of them you bring in is going to be a disaster. And they got through Keller. They got through Quas. They get to Hernandez. He had nothing. I mean, he had nothing. They just, it was like bat. You know what? I've watched batting practice where the ball wasn't consistently hit for base hits like they were off Hernandez last night. Total disaster for the Royals. And there they are, basically a total disaster. Interesting story, Kansas basketball, Bill Self saying yesterday that they need four players in the transfer portal and three of them need to be difference makers because he ain't got much on his roster right now. He's got some good young players coming in, freshmen. We know how that goes. He only has three or four players back from last year's team, and he, like so many other teams now, will be building this year's team through the portal with older guys. Now, they're recruiting whales, okay? They're recruiting big-time guys in the portal from Michigan, Texas, Stanford, Texas Tech, Georgetown. right? They're not messing around at Hofstra or whatever. I don't know why I always use Hofstra. That's not right. I think Hofstra actually has a great player that's in the portal right now. A really highly coveted player. So I shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't. Even a much smaller school can have one really good player that wants to transfer out and go somewhere better. And pretty much everybody that transferred out of KU went down a notch, right? Well, it's pretty hard to transfer out of KU and not go down a notch if you're talking about the schools. So he's looking at players on teams that have played the level of competition that Kansas has. Again, Michigan's got a stud big man they're looking at. Texas, Stanford, Tech, Georgetown. These are guys that can transfer in and you'd look at and go, okay, they're at their level. But he says, we need three difference makers. We don't just need three or four players. He wants four players total. He wants three of them to be difference makers. This is a really interesting quote from Bill Self. Quote, the portal better affect us positively for the upcoming season because our success next year will be based on what we do in the next month. He says he feels more like a general manager than a basketball coach right now, and he's not used to this. This is new for Kansas. So it is scary, but it also helps to bring in older players. And it looks like that's exactly what he'll do through the portal. The side note, the footnote, the side note to this story is something that happened yesterday that didn't get a lot of attention, but was surprising to me. Now, this is a junior in high school, a kid finishing up his junior year in high school. So he's got another year of high school ball, but he wanted to decide where he was going to play basketball. He is the number 12 rated player in the country, according to ESPN. He's a junior guard. His name is David Castillo from Bartlesville, Oklahoma High School. And he was down to three schools. He was down to Kansas, Oklahoma State, and K-State. And on Tuesday, he selected K-State. Now, Jerome Tang is doing a great job, and he has an assistant coach with a previous relationship or recruited this kid for a long time. It wasn't some under-the-radar thing. You have to ask about NIL a little bit. How's this game being played? Who's ahead of who with NIL? The reason this is an interesting footnote is I can't remember. I'll tell you what, the last time K-State beat Kansas out for a recruit was before I followed recruiting. You know, they may have done this way back in the day on Ed Neely from Bonner Springs or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But since I've followed recruiting 25, 30 years, I don't ever remember Kansas State beating KU out for a basketball recruit. I'm sure I'll get emails that it happened somewhere, but I don't remember it. So that alone is very interesting. And so Bill Self, I think, was asked about that. And he said, look, K-State being good is good for the league. I'm happy for him. I was happy for Frank Martin when he had good teams at K-State. Iron, you know, strengthens iron. It's basically what he's saying. It made us better. They'll make us better. They'll make our league better. It's all good. I don't agree with Coach Self on that one. I think Kansas State being a doormat is much better for Kansas. I do. I just do. Yeah, I think if Jerome Tang is going to keep bringing in NBA caliber players, I don't see how that could possibly be good for Kansas. I mean, it's one thing to go to Stillwater and lose, Lubbock and lose, some teams jump up and have, oh, what a cute story. Texas Tech made the Final Four. What a cute story. Kansas State doing something like that? Mm-mm. No. I don't think that's good for Kansas in any way, shape, or form. But pretty interesting day for Kansas basketball. I think Bill Self's going to land some whales. He must have backup players in mind. What we're going to watch is the ones that are public, the schools that I just mentioned. We know who those kids are, and they've all got a list of four or five schools. How many of those does he land? Or does he wind up landing kids from smaller schools, which would be his plan B at this point? That's what's going to be really interesting, because he is definitely whale hunting, and we're going to know in the next week or so, or next month or so. Should be interesting. Our final coming right up has to do with high school wrestling. Incredible story there. Brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Spencer and Steve are my boys out at Finch Knife Co. I got a great email from a listener who picked up a brand new Chernobyl Ant, which is the design model of the Finch Knife, at Shields this past week. And I said, what a beauty. He said, I'm so proud to own this. You can get them at Shields. You can get them at the Bullet Hole. You can get them at Teague Tractor in Belton as well. FinchKnifeCo.com. You can order online. Wonderful pocket knives. Great gift. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. John and Heather are your team for a beautiful extension of your house. Get this garage floor and paint your garage. Probably paint your garage yourself. Paint it first, then have them come in and do the floor. That way you don't spill the paint on the beautiful floor, right? AmazingGarageFloors.net. And our friends at B-Stock have 50-inch display monitors back on sale, just $200. These are great for businesses, for menus, restaurants, gas stations. 24/7 they run. You never turn them off. They're a digital display, just $200 each. Buy four or more and you get free shipping. Doorbusters, Samsung TU7000, 65-inch TV, $429. 70-inch TU7000, $459. That's ridiculous. That's at least $250 cheaper than Best Buy. It's all at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And don't forget, they have a red tag auction item of the week every week at thekklist.com. Thekklist.com is where you go for each and every one of our sponsors. If you want to see if there's something in a category that you're looking for goods or services, just check out the KK List any old day. It's thekklist.com. Our final from Oak Park, Illinois High School, where Hafid Alicia was wrestling for third place in a tournament against Cooper Corder. Cooper Corder dominated this wrestling match. Cooper Corder won 14-2. Versus Hafid Alicia. The official, when it was over, grabbed both the young men, got them together at the center of the mat to shake hands, part ways. Hafid Alicia, at that point, just completely sucker punched Cooper Corder and knocked him out. One shot, bang, right to the head. Down went Cooper Corder in a ball on the floor. The official grabbed the other kid that threw the punch and took him over toward his bench. The dad ran out, or coach, of Cooper Corder to make sure he was okay and checked with him very quickly and was maybe with him 2 or 3 seconds. So apparently he was conscious and he thought, okay. And he stood up and he went toward the ref and went toward the bench like, what the is going on here? Kudos to everyone in the building for not starting a brawl. Because this could have started a brawl. I could have seen a teammate go after the kid, a teammate from Cooper Corder's team, going after Alicia for doing this. We could have seen a lot of things happen, but it didn't. Everybody in the building was disciplined. And all we got was the horrific scene of an assault of one wrestler against another. The police are investigating. This juvenile, undoubtedly, Hafid Alicia, needs to be arrested, whatever you do with juveniles, and punished to the fullest extent of the law. If, and this was not like right at the end of the match, like, bang, match is over, oh, I'm going to beat you up. It was catch your breath, walk around in a circle a little bit. It was a good 10 or 12 seconds later that he gathers him up the middle of the mat to shake hands, and he just sucker punches the kid. Just sucker punched him. Knocked him to the ground. It was brutal. If that kid will do that in that situation, what will that kid do when he's drinking later in life? What will that kid do when he's arguing with somebody that really, what will that kid do if somebody threatens him? Punishment now. Punishment as a juvenile. This is where we're getting so soft in this country. Don't let things like this slide. Don't say, oh, it was a bad moment. It was a teaching moment. We're going to be okay. No, punish him. Punish him. Embarrass him in front of all of his kids. Get him some anger management. Put him in front of a psychologist. Let's do the whole thing. This is how you do this. Stop this stuff in its tracks. We have tens of thousands of wrestlers nationwide, and none of them at the end of the match punched the guy they lost to. None of them. But Hafid Alicia did. Let's get our arms around this person. This is where you do it when they're young. As always, thanks for listening to KKHI. Sure do enjoy doing it. Appreciate you hitting the like, follow, or subscribe button. Telling some other people about it maybe would be great. Let them know that we're out here and that they might like the podcast. Maybe you have to show them how to do it. They don't have an iPhone or something. Show them on their computer that you can always just... The easy thing for people who say, oh, I really don't know how to listen to a podcast. Well, they've been on a computer before and they've hit play. That's all you got to do. KKSissues.com. Hit play. If you don't want to download it or what, you know, whatever, listen on your iPhone. People watch and look at stuff all the time. Go to your computer and hit play at KKSissues.com. Real simple. Folks can do it. I know you can help teach it. That's awesome. We really appreciate that. And we thank you for hitting the like, follow, or subscribe button. We're close to 28,000, and that is awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day, all of us here at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.